This is Fresh Air. Now she's best known as the wife of Paul McCartney. But before Linda McCartney met the famous Beatle, she was an up-and-coming photographer in demand for her pictures of rock musicians. She was the first house photographer at the Fillmore East and had pictures in the first issue of Rolling Stone. She photographed Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, and the Grateful Dead before they became famous. Now she's collected some of her pictures in her new book, Linda McCartney's 60s, Portrait of an Era. After years of taking pictures of bands, she ended up in one. She's been singing and playing keyboards in her husband's bands since the 70s. Linda McCartney spoke with Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet.
Your first gig as a rock photographer was at a Rolling Stones promo event, which was in 1966, and they were on a yacht in the Hudson River, and you ended up being the only photographer allowed on the boat. How did that happen?
They had invited so many photographers and so many journalists that they realized they couldn't get them all on the boat. So somebody came up to me and said, "You will be the only photographer." I went, "What?" And they said, "Yes, we can't get them all on, so you come on." And I went on and was a photographer.
So what did you see when you were there? Was there some kind of attitude or personality of the band, or was there some kind of irony in the event? Like, what was it that you saw that you really wanted to capture?
Well, I was too nervous to think what I wanted to capture. I was just hoping the pictures would turn out. No, I actually just wanted to capture the different personalities, and I must say, everyone seemed to enjoy being photographed by me, and they each had their own personality. Like Charlie Watts, I found very quiet and dignified sitting at the back of the boat. You don't call it the back of the boat, but anyway. And Mick was more of a ham, and Brian Jones had his own personality. But really, I was just trying to get good pictures.
Why do you say you think they enjoyed being photographed by you?
Probably, I think a lot of musicians were used to being photographed by press photographers who had flash and, okay, stand here and go there and, you know, that kind of thing, impersonal. Whereas I didn't have flash, and I was, I suppose, being a girl helped too.
You weren't really a trained photographer, and you'd never done that kind of thing before, right?
Right, I'm still not a trained photographer.
Well, after that event, were you really bit by the bug? Like, did you feel like, ah, oh, this is what I'm going to do now?
Well, before that event, I loved photography. I mean, Walker Evans and Dorothea Lange and Cartier-Bresson photographed so beautifully life that I thought, well, I'm going to be a photographer anyway, but I never thought I'd make a career of it, that it would pay my rent. So after that event, a few of the journalists I'd sold the pictures to liked my photographs so much that they started ringing me up and saying, well, look, we are writing about so-and-so, and would you come and take the pictures? So, of course, it was great for me. However, I had a 9-to-5 job at the same time, so I had to quit my job and become a photographer.
Did you figure out a way of working with the person that got the best picture?
Well, I think it was a lot to do with chemistry. I mean, if I was taking, let's say, photographs of Tim Buckley, who was, a lot of people haven't heard of him, but he was a beautiful songwriter and guitar player. I think just walking around Central Park and almost we were pretending we were in the country and just talking and asking him about himself and that kind of thing brings out a relaxed personality in people. I think friendships help bring out the real person rather than this is my job, I need a picture, go stand over there. I think it was quite warm to walk around and just talk about things.
So would you suggest, say if you had an assignment to get pictures of a person, would you suggest to them that you just go and hang out with them for a while instead of just meeting them at a place and snapping their pictures? Is that what you would do?
Well, I didn't have a studio. I didn't have an assistant. I didn't have an agent. So it wasn't a question of going to a, you know, a place where I set up lights or anything because I always use natural light. And no, I could meet anywhere. I used to meet people either at their manager's place or whatever, their hotel, whatever. And then we just, wherever we were, we just start walking around and taking pictures. And also, you know, if you're just hanging out in jeans and stuff, it's not too stiff. And it's really easy fun. And then you just take pictures through it all.
So do you snap a lot? Were you constantly, would you take a lot?
No, actually, I'm not one of those people who takes a whole roll and then hopes for one good picture. I try to take less than more, you know, less is more. I try to take one or two or three pictures of each situation.
Because Paul writes in an introduction to your book that you know just the moment to click.
No, I do, actually. It's all to do with feel and looking. And, you know, most of us don't look at things. We're so busy being distracted. I actually like looking, and therefore I can feel when to click.
In your book, there's a quote, you say, "I would rather photograph a wrinkled apple than a made-up, smooth, glamorous man." Can you tell us more what you meant by that?
Well, I think character of people is so important, and I think glamour smooths out the character. I mean, Georgie O'Keeffe, the painter, is a favorite of mine. I would have liked to have taken pictures of her just because she has such an interesting face. You know, and some of the poets like Auden, that kind of thing. I like the wrinkles. I like the thought and the life behind the faces rather than covering up everything. I don't like the veneer so much as the substance.
Can you describe one of the photos where you feel you really caught the character of the person?
I think most of them I caught the character. Certainly Jimi Hendrix I did, and Janis Joplin. I like them all, quite honestly. I like one of the Beatles around the Sgt. Pepper time, because I think it shows John and Paul on a really happy note and an exciting note together, and a humorous, almost their tongue-in-cheek humor in that one.
I'm speaking with Linda McCartney, who you may know as the wife of Paul McCartney. She's also worked for many years as a photographer, and she has a new book out called Linda McCartney's 60s, Portrait of an Era. More after a short break. This is Fresh Air. Linda McCartney is my guest, and her new book is a collection of photographs she took of rock musicians in the late 60s. Since your last name is Eastman, or was Eastman, and you were a photographer, a rumor got started that you were an heir to the Eastman Kodak fortune. But I just found this out recently, that your father's name had been Epstein, and he changed it to Eastman.
That's right. So no relation, you see.
Now, why did he change his name?
I think the German war had something to do with it, really. You know, I think he just wanted to. Probably didn't like the name that much.
Are you Jewish?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. But I don't believe in religion, so I'm born Jewish, but I don't practice it. I don't practice any religion.
Your father was a successful entertainment lawyer with several famous clients. What was it like around your house when you were growing up?
Well, he had a lot of good musicians over to his house as well, like Hoagy Carmichael and Harold Arlen and Tommy Dorsey. It was good fun, but I wasn't that into it because I was more into horses and daydreaming, so I didn't get that involved with it, really.
So you didn't feel it was like Uncle Hoagy?
Oh, no way. No, I used to sit up. It was around the time they had invented television, so I used to sneak upstairs and watch television all the time. No, I didn't like going down into it, actually. I was pretty much a loner then.
How did you first find out about the Beatles? Did you watch them on the Ed Sullivan Show?
I did indeed. In fact, I ordered their first album. I lived in Arizona at the time, and I heard the music and really liked it. And I saw them on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Now, you and Paul did get together, and what's it like to have a courtship with a Beatle? He was so famous by the time you got together.
What was it like? It was, I think, like any romance, if it works out well. You know, we were building a relationship. We weren't together for the press or for the media, so it was real, that's all.
But you can't just go out in public very easily, and there were a lot of pressures on him, probably.
Yeah, there were a lot of pressures on him, but I took all the pressures off him. Oh, no, we went out in public, funnily enough, because I lived in New York at the time, and we hung out a lot in New York and used to take subways and go up to Harlem and go everywhere, and people didn't really notice. I think it's when you announce you're coming or you're doing a show or something that you get a lot of hysteria, but, you know, we can be just regular people when we're just on our own.
How long had the two of you been going out when he asked you to marry him?
I don't remember, a few months.
What was it like for you to go from being a voyeur, someone who photographs other people, to having the lens turned on you?
I like being a voyeur a lot better. I'm still a voyeur, by the way. Look out.
Do you take a lot of pictures now?
Oh, absolutely. As many as I took them. I just don't get paid for it now. You know, it's not a living. But if I had to make a living as a photographer, I would. But I became a photographer really for the love of it, not as a career.
Back when you first became Mrs. McCartney, do you think the fact that you were a photographer affected how you dealt with all these photographers who were after you? Were you nicer to them, or did it help you figure out how to get rid of them or how to control the situation?
Well, not really, because I'm the type of photographer who wouldn't take a picture of anybody who didn't want me to. In fact, I went up to Bob Dylan once after a show at a dinner we were at, and I said, "Do you mind if I take a picture of you?" And he said, "I'd rather you didn't." So I didn't, and I always felt very shy about ever taking a picture of him. So I think I'm a different type of photographer than the paparazzi or those kind of photographers, and I think you just tolerate them, really, as most things.
Right. You got together with Paul right around the time the Beatles were breaking up, and that must have been a really traumatic time for him. Did that put a strain on your relationship?
Oh, of course. I mean, it was a heartbreaking time for him. You know, I think he would have liked it to have gone on forever because they made good music together. So I think I was a shoulder to lean on or cry on, as they say.
Did it interfere at all with your relationship? Or?
Oh, I mean, of course it interfered in the point that there was a lot of stress and a lot of misunderstandings going on. But, you know, you can't change things. That's the way it was.
Your father became Paul's business manager, your father and your brother. Weren't you nervous about that? Isn't it dangerous to mix romance and business, and especially when such huge sums of money are at stake?
Well, I knew they were very good, so I thought the mess everyone was in over there, I thought he was quite lucky to get them, quite honestly. But, yeah, it's funny, mixing business and pleasure. I'm not that keen on it, yet here I am in the band. And, you know, but that's life, isn't it? But I think they helped a lot. They helped sort things out. I mean, they were very tough times.
I read that you wanted to raise your kids in a very normal way, and that even though you were really wealthy, all of you lived in a little two-bedroom bungalow. How did you decide what's normal, and what kinds of things did you do to make your family life normal?
Well, I must say we're pretty earthy. The little bungalow is a nice little place, by the way. Wealth doesn't make happiness, and to live rich sort of gets you away from the realities of life. And I think we wanted to be normal and are normal just because that's warm. You know, it's much friendlier to be close. If you live in a big house, you're all in different rooms and you never see each other. I grew up in Scarsdale, which was very nouveau riche and wealthy. And everyone I knew's parents were getting divorced, the kids were miserable, and money doesn't buy happiness. So I was for being real and being close to our kids rather than have chauffeurs and spoil them, really.
You've been part of Paul's bands ever since the Beatles broke up, and you didn't really have a musical background.
No.
Before that.
Didn't have a photography background either.
Right. No, but you've really taken a lot of heat about being in his bands. Was it something you really wanted to do?
I think it was something I said. No, yes, we wanted to be together. And I've always loved music, so it's been a lot of fun. It's getting more fun. We've just finished a new album, and that's really great. So,
what's the band called? Is this Wings? Still?
It's called The Act.
When will the album be out?
In the beginning of the new year.
Who's in the band?
We did a show on MTV called Unplugged, and it's the same band that we played with then. They're six people. They're all really good musicians, unlike me, so you're all right there.
You still feel you're not a good musician?
Well, I mean, I can play. I'm not a great musician, but I don't want to be a great musician. You know, I'm doing so many things, you can't be good at everything. But I love it, and I fit in, and they don't seem to mind me. They quite like playing with me, so it's all right.
Linda McCartney has a new collection of photos called Linda McCartney's 60s. She spoke with Fresh Air producer Amy Sallet. This is Fresh Air.